Turn your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, before we get there, though, Mrs. Payne's going to come up and sing her special. Song. I told her before the service, can I get rid of this, Jake? Am I good? Get myself situated up here. I was talking before the service, Mrs. Payne. I said, I think the last time I was up to preach, I think you sang before I preached. And she said, oh, they put all the bad people the same night. I said, yes, ma'am, they do. Yes. Fit that bill. Fit there. So, I don't know. I've never been too much on jokes on starting a sermon out, but I only have one, so I figured I'd tell it tonight before we get started. It's the same one all the kids they hear in school every year, and so I figured I'd tell it tonight and before we get into the message, allow a little levity before we begin, at least for my sake anyway. But you stand up here, as Brother Luke was preaching on Sunday morning, you know, you are definitely, or you feel like you're on an island all alone, all by yourself, you know, sing yourself a sad song when you get up here. But I'll tell you, every time I get in the pulpit, it gives me a greater appreciation for what preacher does every Sunday in and out. It amazes me. And he always says, well, that's just so many years. And yeah, but so many years of being good. I mean, that is really good. That's hard to follow. And so I do appreciate it. We'll get into the message here in a second, but I got a joke to start off tonight. There was an Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Ford owner. I mean, no, I like to change it up. I think it's supposed to be an Indian. That was for Brother Payne there tonight. No, it's Englishman, a Frenchman, and an Indian. They got captured by cannibals. And the cannibals said, we're going to burn you to the stake. We're going to eat your meat. We're going to make a canoe out of your skin. do you have any last requests? So, of course, the first guy, the Englishman, steps up and he said, again, we're going to burn you the steak. We're going to eat your meat. We're going to make a canoe out of your skin. You have a last request. He said, sure, I'd like a knife. All right, you can have a knife. It's your last request. Here you are. And he said, long live the queen. And he stabbed himself. He was dead. No more Englishmen. So the Frenchman steps up and they said, we're going to burn you the steak. We're going to eat your meat. We're going to make a canoe out of your skin. Do you have any last requests? He said, I sure would. Could I have a knife? And they said, you may. He said, vive la France. And he stabbed himself. He's dead. So we got two guys dead. So the third guy steps up there, whoever you want to put in there. I think I heard the joke actually from Brother Don Green, and I think he used a Pollock, but I'm not sure if that's exactly right or not, but sounds about right if you know him. He tells a lot of jokes. So anyway, they say, we're going to burn you the steak, we're going to eat your meat, we're going to make a canoe out of your skin. Do you have any last requests? He says, yes, I do. Could I have a fork? Okay, seems like a strange request, but here's your fork. He said, have fun with your canoe, fellas. Said I only had one. I didn't say it was good. It'll come a little later for some of you. It'll come. Mark chapter 2 tonight, I just want to say, first of all, after the lame joke, first of all, it's a great privilege and an honor. It really is to be able to mount the pulpit tonight. I do not take it lightly at all. I understand whose desk this is, and I do appreciate it, and I talked to him today, and I just said, thank you. The privilege it is to be able to preach tonight is such a joy, and just to work here, and I'm not going to cry before I get going, so we're going to keep moving. Mark chapter 2, verse 12, very familiar passage of Scripture here, verse 12, it says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed. And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach a message, coming up with the thought before, some of these guys with their titles and what they have, just very simple. It's amazed. That's all I've got tonight is my title. It's amazed. So we're going to preach about that. And we'll pray before we do. Let's pray. Father, again, I pray tonight that you would, and your name would be glorified. I do pray for a listening ear and open heart. I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your name can be glorified. I know that what I am is just, Lord, an empty vessel, but wants to be used. I pray that you'd help us tonight, get some from your word, the thought would get across, Lord, and we'd focus in on what you have for us, and we'll be thankful for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Most of you heard this last Sunday. Many of you congratulated us this past Sunday. Marked 12 years that my wife and I celebrated our wedding anniversary. And I know what you're thinking. She lasted 12 years. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that she made it. I say the same thing every day. Man, she made it 12 years with that guy. She has 5 kids, is how she refers to it sometimes. She has 5 kids, and I'm one of them. But we sat down before, knowing Sunday was coming, we sat down Saturday night, just the two of us together, and we began talking about the past 12 years. And I don't know if any of you couples have done that before, and we began to go back from 2004, the year we were married, and went 2004 and talked about the wedding. And then, I think I brought it up, and we began conversing about our wedding day and how scared to death I was. And, I remember a preacher, we were back in this hallway right here, and preacher saying, are you going to be okay? And he's white as a ghost, and I was just, are you going to be all right? I said, yeah, let's just get out there. I'll be okay. And, we began reminiscing back to different things that have happened over the last 12 years. We went to 2004, talked about, our marriage. Then we went to 2005 and mentioned some trips that we went on. And, of course, 2006, our oldest daughter, Leah, was born. And then, went to 2007. And, I don't know if it was what we mentioned or what was the highlight or the event that occurred then, whether it was a birthday or holiday or something like that, that was memorable to us. And then we got to 2008 and we began reminiscing about how we moved here. And we had just had our second daughter, Kara. She wasn't that old. And we came and moved in an apartment on Stratford Drive and just began going down, that memory lane, if you will, and year in and year out what it was. And, at the end, she said it. I didn't say it. She said, "That's amazing." all over 12 years, just what the Lord's allowed us to do over the last 12 years. And we mentioned things here in the church and different conferences and things that have occurred in the 12 years. And it boiled down to exactly what you said. It's just amazing. The fact that, or what's happened over 12 years, for some of you, that's not too long, 12 years. But to us anyway, going 12 years and talking with people, and especially out in the world today, even double-digit marriage is a rarity these days. And so we were just beginning to reminisce and had a great time. And as I was reliving that story, or we were talking about that, it just hit me, as she said, boy, it's amazing. And it is. Then I've been reading in my Bible through this area in Mark chapter 2, and I get to this passage of Scripture in verse 12, and he says here, they were all amazed. They were all amazed. And so, to give you just the background before I read any there in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, I just set it up real quick, understanding that in the end of Matthew, you know that Jesus was crucified, and His burial, death, burial, and resurrection was the end of Matthew. Then you have, of course, the start of Mark, and you see there in Mark, you've got John coming on the scene, and he baptizes Jesus at the beginning of Mark chapter 1. And then you also see how the disciples were kind of assembled, and he began to call out his disciples. And then you see Jesus as he's actually traveling through Mark chapter 1, and he's preaching, and the first one he comes to in that time, Simon's mother-in-law, he heals her, and then some other people, he casts out devils, and then we get to the end of Mark chapter 1, and he cleanses the leper. And through all this, we see the amazing things that God had done, the amazing miracles that He had performed up to this point. And then we start reading in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And then we read just verse 12 there, And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed. All those things that just happened through those 12 verses, I can't look back on the 12 years that I've been married and say there's ever been a time where I've been in a hospital room or ever been in any other place where I've seen somebody stand up from a crippled position and start walking. That was amazing. That right there was just an amazing event that occurred. And sometimes we read the Bible, I think, and we pass over stories, and I'm going to highlight some tonight. We pass over some and just think, well, it's another Bible story. But can I say, with God, it's an amazing story. He has so many amazing things, and that's what I want to look at tonight, is some amazing things that happen in this passage of Scripture. The first thing, we'll get right into this. I am aware of time, and I will get you out before 9 o'clock tonight. We'll start in Genesis 1, and we'll be... No, I'm kidding. We will get out at a good time. I know the time we normally get out, and like Brother Luke said, it's always a, who's going to be done early, or who's going to be done? We got to make the quota time to make sure we're in there. But I'm aware of it. The first thing I want to point out, though, is that Jesus had an amazing purpose. He had amazing purpose. I have 3 points tonight. This is point number one. He had an amazing purpose. As we just talked about, or I said leading up to verse number one, we see that he couldn't go any place because people were so enthralled with the fact that he was healing people. He was healing them, and all they wanted to do was receive their healing. That's what they wanted. They were around to see. And you see in verse 1, and again he entered in. So at some point in time he left and came back into Capernaum. And it says, and after some days, so he was there. I don't know if he was in hiding, you know, incognito. I'm not sure exactly what it was that he was trying to, you know, there. But he obviously was understanding what was coming. And really his purpose, we get in verse number 10, if we'll read it again, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He came. Yeah, it was a good thing that he performed the miracles, but he came to forgive sins. That's the reason he came. That was the amazing purpose that he was there. He was there to forgive sins. His main purpose. We'll point out some things later on a little bit about his friends, of course, that it was amazing what happened with them and their purpose that they had of getting their friend to Jesus. But just to think about a little bit when these scribes were talking and they said, well, you could have come in and just healed them like that. He said, well, yeah, I could have done that, but first thing he needs to get taken care of is his soul. But he needs more than just healing. He needs God. He needs somebody to come inside and move inside and do something for him first. Have you thought about the last time you got saved or when it was when you got saved? What amazing purpose it was when Christ came and moved in my life. And my purpose changed from that point on. It was an amazing time, an amazing purpose. We were brought up hearing about different scriptures like Joseph when he was thrown in a pit by his brethren, or Moses when he was put into the bulrushes with a purpose. We're also told about David when he was anointed as king, not knowing what to do, just a young man, but he had a purpose. Or Job when he lost all he had, but God had a purpose for him. We also hear about Daniel when he was thrown into a den of lions. And that might have been an interesting sight, seeing that. That's amazing, but he had a purpose. God had a purpose for his life. Or even Jonah, when he sat in the side of the whale's belly or the fish's belly, he had a purpose, and God had a purpose for him. I'm just simply saying tonight that God has a purpose for us. He has an amazing purpose for all of you. He has an amazing purpose for me. Looking back over those 12 years, if I would have thought where I came from to where I am now, I told you there's no way. I feel like sometimes Moses, Lord, I'm slow to speak. I can't do it. Somebody else. Surely there's somebody else. Well, you can take Aaron with him. The Lord gave him Aaron. I don't know. Brother Mick, Brother Luke. I'm not sure who that was. No. The Lord gave him somebody. He has a purpose for us. For each and every one of us. I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And where the Word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. You know, it just maybe our purpose can't be revealed because we have some things that are in the way. We have some things that are blocking us from the amazing things God could do for us. We see four of them right there being humble. They humbled themselves. He said, God said, I'd be willing to help the children of Israel if they just humbled themselves. I looked up a couple of just quotes about humility, and here's one. I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. That was Abraham Lincoln made that quote. Said, I'm overwhelmed with the thought of, I'm nothing. Somebody once wrote this, it's anonymous, but it says, Lord, Thou hast known better than myself that I am growing older and will soon be old. Keep me from becoming too talkative, especially from the unfortunate habit of thinking that I must say something on every subject and every opportunity. Well, that's a humbling thing right there, somebody said. And then Winston Churchill said, in the course of my life, I have often had to eat my words, and I must confess that I have always found it a wholesome diet. Boy, how's our humility? You know, it might be amazing if we just become a little bit more humble sometimes. God can do something with us if we are a little bit more humble. Maybe it's our prayer time. I think God would do an amazing thing if we got back to the area of prayer. Focusing on prayer. Luke talked about our treasure on Sunday morning, and couldn't help but think, boy, it'd be a great thing to see revival. Would it be a neat thing to hear some of those stories lived in my life like they did back in the 60s and 70s? Are we praying for stuff like that? Can't be amazed unless we actually start somewhere. Got to start praying. How about seeking God's face? How about turning from our wicked ways? Going back from what we used to do, and or not turning from the things we used to do. And we need to be turned and focused on what God has for us. I don't think some things can be fulfilled if we don't get our purpose renewed. Our purpose is amazing. Let me say tonight, also, we have worth. You're a child of His. You belong to His family. You have an amazing purpose as a child of God. We have an amazing purpose as a child of His. We're not just put here as another person. You know, I get sick and tired of hearing all the things about abortion and where it goes. You know, I'm so thankful that a mom and dad raised me. And I serve a purpose. There's a reason we have. Don't let Satan throw past situations and depress you. Don't let him allow people that are going to drag you down. You have a purpose. Too many Christians live with regrets that Christ already forgave under His blood. He's already forgiven those. The devil tries to bring them back up again. It's an amazing purpose if we'll just follow along with what God has for us. He's got some things. He had an amazing purpose for this man. Did he think that day? I mean, if you think about the story, how come God didn't immediately go to his house? How did he just go right there? He knew where the guy was. I mean, good grief. He knew what the scribes were saying in their heart. He already knew that was figured out. Why didn't you just go to their house? Have him healed and saved there. I think there was a purpose to it. Number two, we'll get to that, verses 5 through 12, as reading on through there. And I'm not going to take the time to go back through that. But in those verses, we see, number two, His amazing power. Christ's amazing power. You know, the teenagers play sometimes that game in school. They'll say, I look at a couple of them, they'll play that game, you know, what if? What if you had, you know, the power to, you know, see through walls? Or what if you had the power to be invincible? The 30, Ms. Thomas is shaking her head. And we just say, it's never going to happen. It's just not reality. Just what if? What if it happened? Just imagine, if you will, just for a second, that God has all that. How amazing is that? He has it all. He has it all. His power is infinite. He has everything. His power goes on. And yet sometimes we fail to realize that. At least I do, reading through some of this. I think, man, this is an awesome story. But then stop back and think, that's a really amazing story. He healed a guy. He listened to some scribes and knew in their heart what they were thinking already and then told them. That's amazing. Talk about mind reading. He already knew it. Knew their hearts and minds. Before they even uttered it, he said, hey, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why didn't I just heal him right away? Yeah, but he needed a different kind of healing first. His power is amazing. I think of miracles that Jesus did. He was tempted by Satan, had power to overthrow him. He fed a group of weary travelers with some manna. He showed up in a burning bush. He allowed a family to get a boat and for 40 days and 40 nights sail wherever they needed. He caused fire to fall down from heaven to chap some heathen prophets. He made a wall out of water for his children to pass on dry ground. He allowed a boy with just a few loaves and a few small fishes to be able to feed 5,000. He turned water into wine. He made the blind to see. He raised up a dead, stinky man. He did some amazing things. He calmed the storm and said, peace, be still. He overcame death, hell, and the grave for us. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty amazing. And I guess I'm just trying to tell you tonight, has there ever been a time where I've been ate up with this thing that we just realize how powerful God is? We think about what we go through and then think about what He had. Just for one second, think about some of the stories He had. Hey, we thought about the fact that He can calm some of those, or He can help in some of those job situations. If we stop to say, God, I need Your power today. I'm about to face something that I don't know if I can handle, but I need Your help. I've read a lot of books. I've heard a lot of what's been said on television, but this is way bigger than that, God. I need You. I'm about to step out, and boy, my family, they don't understand. I'm conflicted with what I need to do. We stop just to ask God for that power. He's there. He's willing. Church, He wants to. He has the power to do it. He has the power for those financial struggles. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the conflict is. But I know God knows. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's just a need for a spiritual pick-me-up. God has the power for it. Hey, He even said in His Word in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." Hey, He's already guaranteed that for us. There's no need to question. There's no need to wonder. God's powerful enough. Hey, He's got some amazing power. Amazing power. Hey, number three, we'll keep moving on. What else I see in this passage of Scripture here? He was amazingly preferred. He was amazingly preferred. You see these guys in Mark chapter 2. We'll start there in verse 2. "And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." I stopped to think there, you know, the power that, you know, physicians have and doctors have and all that. I don't know. I haven't heard anything or read anything in the news about anybody ripping a doctor's house off the top of it to get to him to find out if they'll heal them. That's amazing. You rip the house off to come down, bring a friend down to heal him, to get him. They preferred not to go to the doctor down the street, not to go to the nurse down the way. They preferred to go to the one who they knew could heal it all. That's who they went to. They went to the one. Just a question. Why aren't we preferring to go to Him more often? Why aren't we? He can heal a guy. I mentioned several other things that He's done, that Christ has done in His life, and many more that He's done in your life and mine. He's there and willing to do them also. He preferred, though, to forgive the sins. All these things are amazing, but again, let me ask you, what are we preferring to put in the place of Christ? Are we preferring fun? A good time? Friends? Or fellowship? Family? Future endeavors? I think our Lord would prefer us to stay amazingly focused on Him. He just wants us to be focused. Tonight, where are we? Have we, you know, maybe our purpose is just not driven anymore. Maybe we've lost a little bit of that focus. We should have. Maybe we forgot that how powerful He is. He's so powerful. He can do any of those things that we're struggling with. Struggling with situations that we don't know what we're going to do and where we're going to turn. And God has the answer. It's in His book. We just fail sometimes. I know I do. I fail sometimes to realize how powerful it is. I go about my day thinking, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe I'll mention it. I don't know. I fail sometimes. If you're in the same boat, I know I do. Think about how powerful He is. And then what are we doing to prefer Him? What are we doing to prefer Jesus? Are we putting Him above all names? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll close with this. We occasionally sing a song. And that song, I don't know if it's in the congregational or somebody sings it, but we sing that song, "I Stand Amazed." I love the chorus of that one. How it goes, "I stand amazed of the love that has sought me, saved me and bought me. I stand amazed. Are we amazed tonight at what God has done? Are you amazed at what He's done in your life? I know I am. I look back, it's just amazing. Have you forgotten? I know I did before this message. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We come to the piano and organ. Where are we tonight? Have we lost our purpose? Maybe just say to the mic, you know what? I feel like sometimes I'm just wayward. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Don't know what I'm supposed to do. Have we gone to the Lord and asked Him, hey, God, I'd like You to renew that focus. I'd like You to renew that purpose in my life. Maybe you're one that says, Mike, I forgot about the power God has. And then lastly, maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you just forgotten some little about preferring Jesus over the rest, over what this world has to offer. The message spoke to you with an uplifted hand. Would you raise it tonight? Say, that's me. One of those three things. That's me. I see the hands. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would be with the invitation time. Lord, You know my heart. Lord, I pray that what was said was clear and plain. I pray that, again, You'd be with the time here at the altar. We'll thank You for it. In Your name we pray. As the invitation begins, make your way down to this old-fashioned altar. Say, I just need to get my focus back. I just need to get the power back in my life. Or I need to prefer Christ more.